Ellis Bates on Stray FM's Business Hub.
Here we are then, heading towards the end of 2016. It's festive time and you're probably overindulging in more ways than one. And one of those ways may well be financially. You'll probably find yourself really hoping to manage your finances better in the new year. New year, New Year's resolutions, of course. So we've got a list here of 10 New Year's resolutions to get your finances in shape for 2017. So I'm delighted to say that Mark Chandler is here to take us through the list from Ellis Bates. It's a good time to have a think, isn't it, Mark?
There's never a bad time to think about budgeting to make the most of the money you've got and perhaps cut back in some areas where you shouldn't really be spending.
But we've helpfully broken it down into 10 easy-to-manage things you can do. And even if you only do a few of them, you're going to be in a better place than you are right now. So let's have a tip number one.
Have a budget plan. This is really, really important. Many people aren't really aware of their ingoings and their outgoings. And I think it's fair to say that most people don't really want to look at their ingoings and outgoings because it tells them something they don't want to hear. But it is so, so important to have luminescent clarity on where your money is going. Once you have all this information down, preferably on a spreadsheet if you can, it's then very clear to see where the money's going each month. Then it can help you to pinpoint areas where you can really make adjustments to your spending so that the family can benefit in other ways.
Absolutely. And even doing it for a couple of months and just tracking everything will open your eyes, won't it?
Absolutely. On your bank account statements, these days, if you go online, you can download them as a spreadsheet. And then you can play around with them just to mark them up where the money's going. And
just mark all those little lunchtime trips to Greg's and things on there that you could be making your own lunch, for example.
Absolutely right.
Other pasty makers are available.
Two.
Review any debts. Now, you should find out exactly how much interest you're paying on debts that you have. If you're paying really high interest rates, say, for example, on credit cards, see what steps you can take to reduce those charges and perhaps even consider moving your debts if you can get a better deal elsewhere. There are a number of comparison sites that can help you do that. Moving the debt is simpler than it would seem, but do watch out for any fees that are incurred to move to a zero rate.
Three.
Cash deposits and savings. Everyone needs to have cash available. This means that if you have an emergency, so the fridge breaks down or the cooker packs up or the car breaks down, that you've actually got some access to the money. I would stress this is not investment, this is savings and deposits. So it means that you can get access to money without disrupting other investments. As advisors, we always say to people, have at least 3 to 6 months equivalent of your regular outgoings. So let's say your regular outgoings were £1,000 a month. You should really have £3,000 to £6,000 on a cash deposit to meet any short-term emergency needs.
Four.
Utilities. Are you paying too much? This is a really topical situation. We all know that the utility companies are coming under fire for having different rates for existing clients and new ones. So straight away, I would dive onto a comparison site. Make sure you know how much you're using of energy from the energy suppliers. Put it into the system. There are a number of these around. We've mentioned them earlier as a collection, but things like Uswitch, Compare the Market, any energy comparison site will give you a quick analysis based on your consumption as to whether you are getting a good deal or not. And if you are not, then move it.
Absolutely. And it's always worth using a couple of comparison sites as well, because sometimes they have exclusive deals and things. So always worth doing a couple of checks, isn't it?
They do. And just want to say that in terms of these providers, you get nothing for loyalty. So if you can save money, move it.
Five.
Join your company pension scheme. A lot of people have the option to join a company's pension scheme and don't always do it. So again, we're going back to our budgeting. If you can find out, first of all, how much you can afford to put into a pension, but moreover, find out how much your employer will put into the company pension scheme. And it's so, so important to do this as early as you possibly can, because by starting earlier, funding for your pension will be cheaper in the long run, but also it will give you the sort of retirement that you envisage having.
I did this recently and the woman in payroll said to me, I'm always so pleased when people take advantage of free money. And it's so true, because that employer's contribution, it costs you nothing.
Absolutely right. And don't forget, with your own pension contribution, you receive tax relief at your highest marginal rate.
Six.
Benefits from employee benefits. As with pensions, employers often provide other additional benefits, and it's really worthwhile asking your human resources department exactly what benefits you can have access to. Things such as life assurance, and tax-efficient spending on things like childcare vouchers, cycle to work.
Travel season tickets.
Absolutely. So these are things that can save you money by paying less tax. Ask your employer, what other benefits can I have access to through my employment?
And take advantage of that while you can, because there are some slight changes coming, I believe, in legislation. And we've talked about that on a previous show, haven't we, Mark?
We certainly have. And people can access that on the website, I believe.
Yes, they can. StrayFM.com.
7.
Check out the Lifetime ISA. If you're aged between 18 and 40 and are saving to buy your first property, then if you look at the Lifetime ISA, which is going to be launched in April, you'll see that you'll be able to invest up to $4,000 a year and then still benefit from a government bonus of 25%. You can use the savings and the bonuses, which are tax-free, incidentally, when you're ready to buy your first property.
So effectively, £1,000 a year bonus from the government?
Correct.
Wow!
Would say, though, that it has to be used for the property purchase, otherwise there can be a penalty to get the money out.
And I believe it's also available for things like care later in life as well.
Yes, and pension planning. It can be useful for pension planning. But right now, with property prices being as they are and mortgage lenders wanting bigger deposits from especially the younger people, this is a great way to save and get a 25% bonus from the government.
8.
Review your existing pensions and investments. It's really important to understand what investments you have and where they are placed. In particular, it's important to know that the contract is performing as you would expect it to. So have a regular review of those contracts to see how much percentage it's increased from previous years. Also, think about the risk tolerance that you have and whether those funds are invested in the right place for you. It's no point, if you're risk adverse, having huge risky funds, because they'll be going up and down and will give you many sleepless nights.
So for example, if you're approaching retirement and you want to know how much money you're going to have when you retire, you might want to move that into something that's less risky.
That's quite right. And conversely, if you're a young person and you're risk adverse, you've got to really think about what you're losing in terms of growth over, say, a 30 or 40 year period before you come to access that money. And it may be worth considering whether you should take a little more risk.
9.
Shop around for insurance renewals. This is an interesting one, because the two worst things that can happen to you is that you run out of insurance at renewal. Mm-hmm. Or alternatively, the provider has what we call a negative affirmation of renewal. So unless you say you don't want it, they renew it and keep taking the
renewal.
Yeah, auto-renewal. Yeah. So in that respect, you may have forgotten to renew it, but it goes through automatically. That's the good news. The bad news is the premium's gone up by about £100 a month.
Yeah, they'll just send you a letter, won't they, where it says, this is what we're going to charge you, and if we don't hear from you, we'll assume you've accepted.
That's exactly right. And then you can find yourself spending more money than you need to. So again, so for your car, buildings, homing contents, any insurance you have, please always diary them 2 months in advance. Diary the renewal 2 months in advance. Go onto the comparison sites and get some quotations comparing the cover with your existing insurers and with a view to move. And it's very simple to move, and you may save yourself some money. But don't forget, there will be increases for the forthcoming increase in insurance tax.
10.
Protecting your family. Life always throws curveballs at us. And we've talked earlier about things such as pensions and investments. But think about the consequence if you couldn't make those payments, if something happened to you. Let's just think about the most obvious, and that is death. So if you were to pass away, what situation would that leave your family in? Would they be able to clear debts and make a life going forward without your income? The other things to consider are a critical illness. If you have a critical illness and you're off work for a year or so, would your employer still pay you for that period? It's quite likely that if they did, that it would be on a reduced amount. So again, think about whether you need cover to cover you with a lump sum for critical illness. So thinking about if you broke your leg or you had a critical illness, how long will you be paid for, and what impact would that have on the family? Could it jeopardise the home you're living in and the lifestyle that you enjoy? At a starting point, why not contact your employer to see if they offer any protection benefits? Because there's no point going out and paying money for it if it can be provided via your benefit structure.
If you do, though, need some independent financial advice, that can be really useful, can't it, Mark?
Yes, it can. I was going to say that all the aforementioned 10 tips, if you're unsure, the best thing to do is to go and see a financial advisor, an independent financial advisor, and we'd be delighted to assist you. If you want to speak to me or any of the other advisors at Ellis Bates, then contact us via the website, which is ellisbatesgroup.com. Can I just add as well that the first hour of any interview with a client is at the cost of Ellis Bates.
Ellis Bates on Stray FM's Business Hub.